The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Susan Dellinger from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, January 2020, Volume 21, Number 1, and this is the third of five installments. Oprah wears jeans and a baby blue oversized turtleneck sweater on this month's cover. Her hair is a natural mass of coils that's parted on the left and brushes her shoulders. This month's headline is New Year's Evolution, My Plan for Living, Being, and Staying Well. And we'll head over to the Let's Eat section, and this month's Fast or Fancy is chicken soup. Cozy up to this savory classic from John Becker and Megan Scott, co-authors of the latest edition of Joy of Cooking. And there's a bowl here. It's a natural pottery bowl filled with large chunks of celery and carrots and a thin broth and pieces of chicken. And let's hear what they have to say for the fancy recipe. A long and low simmer plus ultra-aromatic herbs and vegetables ensures tender meat and a broth that will soothe and satisfy. Becker Chicken Soup. This makes four servings with a total time of 1 hour and 30 minutes. In a large soup pot over medium heat, place 8 cups of chicken broth, preferably homemade, or water. 2 pounds bone-in chicken parts, skin removed and trimmed of any fat. 1 large onion diced, 3 carrots diced, 3 celery ribs thinly sliced, 2 small parsnips or turnips peeled and diced, 3 large garlic cloves coarsely chopped, 3 thyme sprigs, 1 bay leaf, and 1.5 teaspoons of curry powder or garam masala or turmeric. Bring to a boil, then reduce heat, partially cover, and simmer gently for 1 hour, skimming foam occasionally. Transfer chicken to a platter to cool slightly. Remove herb sprigs and skim fat from broth. When cool enough to handle, pull meat off bones, shred, and return to soup. Season to taste with salt and ground black pepper and garnish with chopped parsley and lemon wedges. Now here's the fast version, flash in the pot. Substitute cooked shredded rotisserie chicken for the meat and use chicken bone broth for the liquid. It's typically fuller bodied than standard stock, so it'll come closer to the slow simmered version. Shred the carrot on a box grater, mince the garlic, then briskly simmer in broth along with the other veggies, onion, celery, and parsnips or turnips, until just tender, about 10 minutes. Stir in chicken until heated through, 2 to 3 minutes. Pile a handful of coarsely chopped fresh herbs, parsley, dill, tarragon, thyme, over the top. Stir and immerse yourself in a full-flavored bowl. And then here's a little footnote. Under the weather, use a rasp grater to grate 1 garlic clove and a 1/2-inch piece of peeled ginger into the bottom of each bowl before adding soup. Both ingredients may help boost your immune system. And now let's head over to the reading room and read our long story short. The heading is Between the Lines. In a cache of literary love letters, Jen Chaplin discovered the key to her own heart's desire. The titles of Carson McCullough's books have always struck a chord with me, writes Jen. The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. Like, same. But I'd never gotten around to reading any of her work. Books seem to find me when I'm ready for them. Hers didn't until the second year of my PhD program, when I was an intern at the Harry Ransom Center, which houses a giant collection of writers and artists' books, papers, photographs, and artworks at the University of Texas at Austin. One day a scholar wrote asking for letters between McCullers and Anne Marie Cleric Schwarzenbach, whose name was utterly unfamiliar to me. I took the freight elevator to the icy basement manuscript room, pulled the correspondence folder. It was labeled 29.4. I still recall, and started reading it right there in the stacks. The paper was browned with age and wrinkled at the edges. Anne Marie's handwriting filled the page, which I read through the clear mylar sleeves. Quote, Carson, child, my beloved, you know that, leaving the day after tomorrow, feeling half afraid and proud, leaving behind me all I care for, once again, and a wave of love. End of quote. I looked up at the rows of manuscript boxes that surrounded me, mind humming, face flushed. Love. Did that mean what I thought it did? Instinctively, I listened for anyone who might be coming. Hearing only the tick-tick of the sliding electric shelves, I read on. To Carson, Anne Marie recalled, quote, talking as we did, you and I, at that lunchtime, you remember, at the corner near the Bedford Hotel, with milk and bread and butter, ages ago, end of quote. Anne Marie's language in her letters to Carson was intimate, suggestive, or at least I read it that way, you remember. I had received letters like these. I had written letters like these to women I'd loved. Letters with words like darling and baby. Another thing I recognized, the intimacy of Anne Marie's tone contained a hint of plausible deniability. As though the wave of love she referred to might not have been about Carson at all. It was very little to go on, and yet I felt utter certainty. Carson McCullers had loved women, or at least this woman had loved her. I wanted to know everything about them both. I brought the folder upstairs, hurried to my 3 o'clock reference desk shift, and started Googling. Anne Marie, I discovered, was a Swiss writer, photographer, silk heiress, and known lady killer who spent time in New York in the late 1930s and early 40s, but there wasn't much else. Folder 29.4 held 8 letters from Anne Marie to Carson, but none of Carson's replies. One had the heading, On the Congo River, September 1941. Anne Marie's handwriting was so small and insistent that the missives read long, though often they covered only the front and back of a single sheet. Like mine, they were overwrought, wrung with feeling, and a need to declare it in writing. Other than my own, I had never read love letters between women before. I found the letters at the tail end of the slow-burning catastrophe of my 20s, never quite breaking up with my first love, a woman I'd met our freshman year of college, after 6 closeted years together. I didn't know whether I wanted to date women, but on the heels of emotional and sexual manipulation by a male professor, the idea of dating men seemed pretty dismal. Like most 25-year-olds, I couldn't figure out what came next. What came next was Carson. I tried to tell a few people about the letters, but I couldn't explain why they were so significant to me. She dated a woman, they'd say. So? The years that followed were overtaken by my desire to understand the magnitude of Carson and Anne Marie's on-paper love. And to understand myself, too. I didn't realize I was starting a book that would take me 7 years to research and write. Within a week of finding the letters, without seeing any connection to the photos of Anne Marie I'd been Googling, I would chop my hair short. Within a year, I would be calling myself a lesbian for the first time, albeit only privately, in my mind, and to a few close friends. Having grown up Catholic in the Midwest, I struggled to claim my own sexuality. I was still trying it out, working to get the word out of my mouth. 4 years later, I would live in Carson's childhood home for a month on a research fellowship, and soon after, I would move to Santa Fe with my new love, Chelsea. We met as interns, abandoning my academic job search to finish a book about Carson. Retrospect redefines everything in its path. And I am as hesitant to ascribe fixed narrative meaning to my own life as any other. But I suppose we could call those letters a turning point. Jen Shapland is the author of my autobiography of Carson McCullers, which will be published in February. And there's an inset, a picture of Jen Shapland, and she has very short, thin hair and kind of old-fashioned glasses, and she's wearing a black blazer. And then above that are some black and white photographs. There's a picture of the letter from Anne Marie to Carson, and it looks like it's written on very browned graph paper and with a very tiny print in it. And then the picture of Anne Marie, she has short dark hair, kind of thick hair. She has a long face, kind of a strong nose, and she's wearing a navy blue jacket with a white collar, and she's holding a camera. This black and white picture is, of course, from the 30s or 40s. And then the picture of Carson. Carson has very short bangs and long hair, and she's wearing a pair of full-legged trousers and a sweater with a shirt. And now let's read a couple of book reviews in Reading Room. The first review is of the book Long Bright River by Liz Moore. The title of the review, is Blood Ties, a powerful new novel wrestles with addiction's collateral damage. Dreams live and die hard in the bedlands of Philadelphia. And the gritty setting for Liz Moore's electrifying Long Bright River. In taut, propulsive sentences, Moore draws on the police procedural in conjuring a community on the brink while exploring tensions between two sisters on either side of the thin blue line. Mikella, Mickey Fitzpatrick, 32, is a cop. Her younger sister, Casey, a drug addict who has lapsed into prostitution. Mickey's beat includes Kensington, the not-yet-gentrified neighborhood where she and Casey grew up under the baleful gaze of their grandmother, G, who stepped in to care for the girls after their mother's fatal overdose. Kensington teams with those down on their luck, its vacant lots and abandoned buildings a target-rich terrain for a serial killer. Just such a predator is on the prowl when Casey vanishes, and it's at this juncture that Long Bright River could easily slip into the formulaic. But the author has something more transgressive in mind, that is, to use the tropes of crime fiction in composing a deeper morality tale in which the heroes and villains commingle and even change places. Among the first novelists to dive into the riptides of the opioid crisis, Moore navigates assuredly through plot twists and big reveals. Mickey proves an empathetic guide, a striver who knows all too well how one false move could doom the people she loves, including the 4-year-old son she dotes on. Long Bright River is equal parts literary and thrilling, a compassionate, multidimensional look at an epidemic that surrounds us. And we have a poetry pause from the poem Common Feast, which appears in Heed the Hollow by Malcolm Tariq. Intimacy is not a clean thing. It is difficult like this, covert and common, bare as it should be. Someone says, I want the mess in you, and you give it to them. And next, we have A Life on the Edge by Sheila Weller, and it's the story of Carrie Fisher. The title of this review is The Force Was With Her. Hysterically funny, wildly charismatic, and razor-sharp, Carrie Fisher was beloved by family, friends, and fans, but as Sheila Weller's mesmerizing reporting reveals, her demons never left her. Carrie Fisher loved glitter so much she had special pockets sewn into her coats so she could sprinkle her fairy dust whenever the impulse arose. Onto audiences during the 3-year run of her one-woman show, Wishful Drinking. Backstage at the Academy Awards. At restaurants when a fellow diner greeted her. She threw parties so exclusive their crashers were A-listers like David Bowie and Iman. Her California home was as witty and as eccentric as she was. She kept a piano in one of her bathrooms. Journalist Sheila Weller's Carrie Fisher, A Life on the Edge, abounds with Fisher's epic Prophets. Juicy revelations about her many lovers and admiration for the woman who made Princess Leia a feminist icon. But it's the dichotomy between Hollywood's glamour and its underbelly that Weller expertly probes and that Fisher embodied. She was both beneficiary and victim of her parents' fame. To say she and her mother were intensely close understates their codependency. Fisher's creativity was powered by a mania that was eventually diagnosed as bipolar disorder. She struggled with addiction throughout her life and in 2016, at age 60, died of a heart attack brought on in part by a cocktail of drugs, some prescribed, some illicit. In life, many saw Carrie Fisher as a present-day Dorothy Parker, a dazzling sun around whom people orbited. Fisher once confessed that she wanted, quote, very much to be popular, to explode on your night sky like fireworks at midnight on New Year's Eve in Hong Kong, end of quote. As Weller's riveting biography illuminates, while Fisher got her wish, the darkness that inevitably followed was the price she paid. And now let's move to the refresh section, where the first page is of a skier, and she's a African-American woman with long natural hair, and she's been out in the snow so long that her snow is just packed with ice. Excuse me, her hair is packed with snow and ice. She has on big white ski goggles with an orange lens and a pastel teal ski jacket. And the heading is Cover Up. No matter the time of year, make sure the label says broad spectrum, meaning you're protected against both UVA and UVB rays. So we're talking sun protection here. We've said it before, but your skin asked us to say it again. You can't skip sunscreen just because it's cold out. Yes, the sun's UVB rays, largely responsible for burns and discoloration, are less intense in winter, but UVA rays, which cause deeper damage like wrinkles and loss of firmness, are as strong as ever, even more so in the snow, which reflects up to 80% of UVA and UVB light. Vanity aside, each is linked to skin cancer. Frigid, dry air can be harsh on your face, so you may want more soothing sun care this time of year. A few we like: Supergoop Super Screen Daily Moisturizer SPF 40. It's $38. Go to supergoop.com. It contains blue-green algae, which a 2015 study found can help skin retain moisture. For sensitive types, Boston dermatologist Gretchen Freeling, MD, suggests mineral screens with zinc or titanium oxide, which can be less drying and irritating than chemical-based versions. Try Michel Dermaceuticals Replenishing Solar Defense SPF 30. $30 at michelle.com, which is M-Y-C-H-E-L-L-E. With hydrating macadamia nut oil. If minerals leave a chalky residue, go for a gentle chemical option like Kula Full Spectrum 360 Degree Sun Silk Drops SPF 30, $46, Kula.com, which has calming neroli flower extract. It blends in so well, the only white you'll see will be on the ground. And the next page of Refresh has six items for us to consider purchasing to beautify our bathroom. Prettify your private space with reimagined self-care staples. And the very first item is Green Room. This stripy calathea plant will perk up when your shower steam hits its leaves. The tropical plant prefers humid environments, making it a savvy choice to beautify your window ledge or toilet tank. Calathea Freddy in small Dolores planter, $37 at thesill.com. And the planter is Soft Rings, and it's in yellow. It's a little bit like the Michelin Man, looking really kind of squishy. And the plant has light green and dark green stripes that form kind of a chevron pattern. in the broad leaves. The next item, just do it. In the wise words of one children's book, everyone poops, but not everyone has this deodorizing essential oil that can turn a nose crinkling situation into a ylang ylang and tangerine dream yet. Post-poo drops are $29 at Aesop.com, and it's shown here in a dark amber medicine-like bottle, old-fashioned bottle with a black stopper that has a dropper in it, and just a very plain white label. And now the third item is cutting edge. Improve your shaving routine with this weighted razor. It's rubber grip, aloe vera strip, flexible hinge, and 5-blade cartridge will help you remove hair without fear of pesky nicks. Flamingo razor, $9. Shopflamingo.com. It is shown here in the color combo of pomelo and silver. The head of the razor is very high-tech looking, and it's a silver stainless steel look. And pomelo is like maybe a pomegranate. It is also available in mint and gold and taro and rose gold. Item number 4, give me a buzz. Down in the mouth, this electric toothbrush offers a choice of 3 brush heads, whitening, anti-plaque, gum care, 4 modes, clean, white, sensitive massage, and 5 intensity levels for more personalized maintenance of your pearly whites. The Sonic toothbrush is $45 plus a $5 subscription for new brush head every 3 months. And it's from Shine, SHYN.com. And it is a tall, skinny, white electric toothbrush with the words clean, white, sensitive, and massage on the bottom. Very Tesla car looking for a toothbrush. Item number 5, dressings for success. This dapper travel tin is packed with fabric bandages, updated with grown-up flair. Think colors like ruby red and patterns like windowpane. And function, think shapes specifically built for fingers and toes. Handy Bandies are $7 at GetWelly.com. They're in a cute little red tin with white polka dots. And the shapes include the traditional band-aid shape, a bow tie shape, and kind of an H shape. And they are in red, navy blue with a white window pane, and a light blue and white stripe. And item number 6, the final item, that's a wrap. This moisture-wicking wonder towel can quickly dry sopping wet hair while helping protect against split ends and other damage. Rapid Dryless Hair Towel, $30 at Aquas.com. And this is kind of a lavender gray flannel towel. Still in Refresh, the heading is Go Greener. Kale and spinach aren't the only leafy nutrient powerhouses. Broaden your health horizons with these lesser-known swaps inspired by food writer Catherine Phipps' new cookbook, Leaf. If you like spinach omelets, try sorrel. The lemony leaves cut through eggs' richness, and 1 cup raw provides over 100 milligrams of magnesium, key for muscle and nerve function. Nearly a third of what an adult woman needs each day. Give them a quick saute before folding into an omelet and feel free to go heavy-handed. Like spinach, sorrel shrinks as it cooks. If you like big kale salads, try Savoy cabbage. It's softer than most cabbage varieties, but with a similar bittersweet flavor that pairs wonderfully with vinaigrettes. 1 cup delivers 1/3 of your daily vitamin C, too. Thinly slice and lightly salt leaves, then let them sit in a colander for 10 minutes. This releases moisture and helps them stay crisp. If you like vegetable soups with greens, try Jim Lettuce. These sweet, crunchy leaves bring unexpected freshness, not to mention nearly a full day's worth of immunity-boosting vitamin A per cup. Grill or fry over medium-high heat for a minute or two to deepen the flavor, then add to a brothy soup like minestrone just before serving so they don't get too soft. If you like BLTs, try Frisée. The frizzy green is rich in vitamin K, important for blood clotting, and has a pleasantly pungent taste. Roughly chop it before assembling your sandwich. You can serve any extra on the side. And try replacing mayo with a lemon aioli for a tangier bite. And now under the heading, Tread Sprightly. If winter weather has you at a standstill, this advice from Corinne Fitzgerald, head coach at New York City's Mile High Run Club, can help treadmill jogs feel less like a slog. There are three headings here. Shift gears, bring a buddy, and run with the pack. Under shift gears, interval training is the key to a not blah run, and it can make you speedier over time, too, says Fitzgerald. She recommends this 30-minute routine. Warm up with a 5-minute walk, then alternate running fast for 1 minute and recovering for 1 minute by running slower or walking. Repeat that 10 times, or if you want higher intensity, go 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off for 5 rounds. Cool down with another 5-minute stroll. Under Bring a Buddy, a study by University of Southern California researchers found that people who worked out with a partner reported feeling happier and enjoying themselves more than participants who exercised solo. Fitzgerald says, quote, "One of the best parts about the treadmill is that it gives you the opportunity to run alongside friends, coworkers, or significant others and share the experience, even if you're going at different speeds," end of quote. Now, run with the pack. Group treadmill classes have been popping up nationwide at specialty studios like Mile High, milehighrunclub.com, and chain gyms like Crunch Fitness, crunch.com, and they all but guarantee you won't be bored. Fitzgerald says, quote, "The combination of instructor cues, friendly competition with fellow runners, and inspiring playlists keeps you engaged," end of quote. No access to a class? Running apps with audio coaching. Aptive offers hundreds of guided sessions set to top 40 tunes. $15 per month, aaptiv.com, are the next best workout. And now we have a picture of someone soaking in an old-fashioned claw-footed tub full of bubble bath. And the heading 1 to 2. That's how many hours before bedtime you should hop in the shower or bath if you want to take advantage of hot water's sleep-inducing powers, according to a review of 17 studies by researchers at the University of Texas at Austin. A steamy soak or spray brings heat from the center of your body to your hands and feet, causing your core to rapidly cool. This, in turn, amplifies the natural body temperature dip that occurs in the evening to prime you for snoozing. Washing up about 90 minutes before turning in helped people nod off an average of 10 minutes faster and improved their self-reported sleep duration and quality. We rest our case. Let's take a look now at Love That, and the first page has a spattering of sneakers on it, and it's called Sneak Preview. Even if fitness isn't on your resolutions list, a dashing new pair of workout shoes may put some pep in your step. To support every stride, they have cushioning in all the right places, plus breathable and lightweight mesh or net fabric. Whether you like splashy colors or are more of a classic white kind of gal, these winners will keep you on track. The first pair is a multicolored mesh. And all of these shoes have the elastic in place of lace-ups so that you can just slide your foot right in. So this pair, the first pair is APL Techloom Wave. They're $225 at athleticpropulsionlabs.com. Like I said, they're multicolored mesh, and they're primarily greens and oranges with a little bit of blue and lavender thrown in there. The second pair is called On Running Cloud Flow. They're $140 at on-running.com. They're kind of an ombre from a soft pastel earthy mint green to an earthy coral, and they are mesh with a white white and black sole. The third pair is from Adidas and Stella McCartney Ultra Boost. They're $230. They are a deep orange, navy blue, and white mesh with navy blue leather stripes and a sky blue elastic zigzag over the top of the foot to give you some stretch to slide the shoe on and off. And they are from Adidas.com. The fourth pair is a burgundy with pink trim and a white sole. They're Veja Condor, and they're $150 at Veja-store.com. And then number five is a white pair of mesh Nikes, and they have a cool ice blue sole that kind of wraps up to the top, you know, just around the edge of the top of the shoe. And then it's got this bright pink and sort of periwinkle blue gel looking heel on it. They are the Nike Joyride Run Fly Knit, and they're $180. Go to Nike.com to find them. Let's go now to the special feature section of the magazine and finish up the contributions under the section My Illness Myself. The demands of modern life already feel overwhelming enough, but what if, on top of everything else, you had a health condition, one that required careful maintenance every single day? Meet six women who, while facing daunting physical challenges, embody grit and grace. And in the last installment, we heard from the news anchor, Nikki Burdine, who has Tourette syndrome, the painter, Lydia Emily Archibald, who has multiple sclerosis, the model, Vika Zubin, who has rheumatoid arthritis, and the pro golfer, who has narcolepsy. And now, let's hear from the assistant director, who fights the urge. She has ulcerative colitis, and her name is Dawn Bridgewater, and she's 45 years old. And Dawn writes, as a first assistant director of TV commercials, promos, and teasers, I manage the set. My job is to tell the entire crew what to do and to be in control at all times. The irony is I often can't even control my own bowels. I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis 18 years ago at age 27. I'd been feeling pretty run down for a while, and then I noticed blood in my stool. I'd always had digestive issues, but this scared me, so I went to the ER and then to a gastroenterologist. He looked at me and he said, "You're not the typical colitis patient. I usually treat older Jewish men. I still haven't met any other African Americans who have this." The doctor prescribed a drug called mesalamine and advised me to avoid stress. I was like, okay, sure. I'm a broke production assistant in my 20s living in New York City. No stress here. My condition is considered mild to moderate, and yet at least every 2 years, often less, I have flare-ups that last for 6 weeks to 3 months. The worst involve going to the bathroom up to 20 times a day. I'm bloated and irritated and expelling blood and mucus. It's foul-smelling. It's traumatic. For every job I'm offered, I assess the situation. How many bathrooms are on set? Because if there's just one for the talent and the crew, I'll pass. How far are the bathrooms from the soundstage? Could I make it in an emergency? Who else is working? Are they familiar with me and my bathroom habits? I'm not shy about discussing it. Besides, I have to communicate with people on the set with my walkie-talkie, even when I'm on the toilet. I might be trapped in there for 10 or 15 minutes at a time. Before a job, I do meal prep like crazy. Sometimes the caterer brings food I can eat, like avocados, broth, white rice. But most of the time, I pack my own meals and snacks and eat them in the car, so I'm not tempted to nibble on things that will aggravate my condition. At my 42nd birthday party, some friends started sharing embarrassing stories, and I was like, guys, I've got this. Here's one for you. I developed a bacterial infection right before an important shoot. I wore Depends as a backup and constantly trotted back and forth to a restroom in an office building. On one of my trips, just as we were finishing for the day, I didn't make it to the stall in time. My pants, underwear, and socks were ruined, and I had to throw them away. I was frantically trying to clean up before anyone walked in, but I had nothing to change into. Then I had an idea. I happened to be wearing a hoodie bearing the name of my production company. I took it off, zipped it up, and stepped into it like a skirt. I called an assistant and asked her to bring me my bag. Then I casually walked out of there like nothing was wrong, with poop on my shoes and Awesome Dawn scrawled across my butt, and drove myself home. Sometimes I just have to laugh about it. And need to know, ulcerative colitis, UC. One of the most common types of inflammatory bowel disease, ulcerative colitis is characterized by chronic inflammation of the large intestine, specifically the inner lining of the rectum and colon. The inflammation causes tiny ulcers to develop and produce pus and mucus, which results in abdominal pain and a recurring urge to have a bowel movement. Symptoms can also include diarrhea and blood in the stool. There may be gaps of months or years between flare-ups, but because there isn't yet a cure, symptoms will eventually return. Treatment usually includes dietary restrictions, prescription meds to maintain remission and manage flare-ups, and in some cases, surgery to remove the colon and rectum. For more info, go to Crohn'sColitisFoundation.com. And 3 million people in North America have UC. And our last contribution in this article, the college student who puts herself back together. Elaine Katz, 35, she has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. If you saw me walking across campus, you might think I was an athlete. My knees are framed by strips of kinesiology tape, and I'm always wearing spandex leggings and compression shirts. But my body can barely function normally. My hips dislocate if I sit on hard surfaces, and if I accidentally cross my legs, my kneecaps might pop out of place. The clothing I wear literally holds my joints in position. I have a form of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, EDS, meaning that in my body, the collagen that fortifies connective tissue, think of it as the body's glue, doesn't function correctly. I have hyperflexible, unstable joints, and my childhood and early teen years were riddled with broken bones, including a recurrent spinal fracture. When I was 10, on a family vacation in Rome, walking on uneven concrete caused me to fracture my back. In April of my freshman year at Harvard, I woke up one day with two dislocated hips and a dislocated shoulder just from rolling over in my sleep. That's when I took a year off from school, during which my mom and I visited an amazing geneticist. She did blood work and a clinical exam called a Bighton score, which analyzes things like how far you can bend your thumbs and whether your knees kink out in a way they shouldn't. I had 8 out of 9 signs of EDS. At age 21, I finally understood what was going on with my body. There aren't any medications specifically for EDS, but each morning I spend 15 minutes swallowing at least 50 types of supplements, including some derived from organ meats and collagen-rich tissue from cows. Eating a low-carb, high-fat, ketogenic diet has radically improved my GI function and energy, and though it hasn't helped stabilize my joints, I notice less bruising and swelling. My jaw dislocates if I chew solid foods, so I live on bone broth and smoothies made with almond milk, avocados, and collagen protein. Movement is hugely important for me because when my muscles aren't firing, my joints are more prone to give way. Once a week, I go to a structural alignment specialist who examines my posture and gait and adjusts my limbs and spine. I do physical therapy 3 times a week, and I'm a fan of less traditional practices like cryotherapy and infrared saunas, which help reduce my inflammation and pain. If I didn't know how to pop my joints back on my own, I would spend my life in the ER. I've become a whiz at banging my arms into their sockets against the sides of buildings and doing lunges to get my hip in place. I don't have a lot of time to see friends at night because I'm often relocating my joints and lying down covered in ice packs. Socializing is challenging anyway because of the restrictions on what I can eat and where I can sit. In so many ways, I'm not the average college student. I've never kissed a boy, been on a date, or taken a drink or a recreational drug of any kind. I consider myself lucky to have my amazing, supportive best friend, Olivia. We go for walks together. We're always wandering around the nature preserves of Cambridge, laughing and chatting. Last spring, I experienced what felt like a headache on steroids. I had to prop my chin on my hands just to keep my head up. That summer, I was selected for a research internship through the Harvard Stem Cell Institute. Yet my doctor cautioned me against performing lab work, which requires peering over cell cultures and microscope lenses in a position that could worsen my neck pain. So my lab mentor assigned me a computer-based project and gathered ergonomic furniture from campus buildings so I could still be part of the lab atmosphere. The work I did during that internship has potential therapeutic ramifications for people with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, as well as aging in general. It was incredibly fulfilling. By September, I was still wearing a neck brace, felt exhausted no matter how much I slept, and couldn't think clearly. My parents pulled me out of school and brought me home to New York City, and my mother, a doctor, asked experts to investigate whether I might be leaking cerebral spinal fluid. That turned out to be the culprit. The leak was patched over, but that led to further complications, so I took the rest of the semester off. This isn't the life I would have chosen for myself, but I've grown in so many ways. I dislocate at least two body parts a day, so I've learned to expect the unexpected. I'm writing a memoir so I can share my story, and having to deal with my health has inspired me to investigate the biological underpinnings of disease. My challenges have given me a sense of pride in who I am, EDS, and all. And here's what we need to know about Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, EDS. Few people had heard of this rare syndrome, actually a group of related yet varied connective tissue disorders, until last year, when British actor Jamila Jamal, pop singer Sia, and actor-director-writer Lena Dunham all revealed that they have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Common symptoms include hypermobile joints, skin that bruises easily, and chronic musculoskeletal pain. Treatment often focuses on preventing serious complications through physical therapy and assistive devices like braces, and on pain management to increase comfort. Most types of EDS are not known to have any negative effect on life expectancy. For more info, go to edswellness.org. And at least 1 in 5,000 people worldwide has EDS. And now let's take a look at a few items in the beautiful section of the magazine. On a white background on the very first page, we have stacks of little compacts. And it says, if you're resolving to be more organized, there's makeup to help you. Fenty Beauty Snap Shadows Mix and Match Eyeshadow Palettes, $25 each or 2 for $45 at FentyBeauty.com. The 8 palm size, 6 color quadrangles can be joined together in pairs, allowing you to stash a veritable rainbow of options neatly in your purse. The shades, everything from bright pastels to shimmery champagnes. Happy New Year, indeed. And these are little white rectangular cases and a mirror on one side when they're open. And then they have six little squares of powder. Most of the ones shown here on this page seem to be dominated by browns and pewters with a few glitters and a few sort of rosy pinks. The white case has very simple lettering on the front that says Fenty Beauty. And then almost like in a silver, a handwritten large number. So each of these color palettes, the number is written on the front of the case. And now we have Inside the Beauty Closet. O Beauty Director Brian Underwood handpicks his favorite new finds. And there's a little inset picture of Brian in a black t-shirt with his short black hair and his, oh, I'd say week-old stubble of black against his light complexion. And the first item here is under the heading Made in the Shades. This sheer foundation matches 99% of skin tones, as the wide spectrum of O staffers who tried it can test. CoverGirl Clean Fresh Skin Milk, $10 at drugstores. It's in a tube that's kind of color blocked. It's pink on the top and this medium tan, which is number 570. The color of the foundation is actually in the bottom. It's got a white lid. The next item, eye-catching 12 shades in a range of finishes from matte to shimmery, allow you to create a look that's subtle or scintillizing. This is the NARS Afterglow Eyeshadow Palette. It's $59 at Sephora. And it's in a little black case with four, it's a 3x4 grid, and it looks to be mostly golds and browns with a couple of pinks and teals in it. Now, next item, Skinovation. 100 years from now, dermatologists will probably be injecting regenerative alien polymers into our faces to freshen them up. But for the moment, this cutting-edge moisturizer is our best option. Dior scientists have identified four flowers that mimic the effects of young stem cells, helping skin appear firmer, smoother, and brighter. The future is now. And this is a small white pot, white lid, white bottom, with the Dior label on it, and a skinny little silver band separating the lid from the bottom. And is the Dior Capture Total CELL Energy Cream. It's $155 at Dior.com. The next item is called Liquid Asset. L'Oreal Paris Elvive 8-Second Wonder Water, $10 at drugstores. It's kind of a modern take on an old-fashioned dark amber medicine bottle with a black screw top that you can twist and get a few drops out at a time. This first-of-its-kind fluid deposits a repairing amino acid onto damaged hair without weighing it down. Below that, we have some mascara. Batting 1,000 is the heading. Maybelline New York Falsies Lash Lift Mascara, $10.50 at drugstores. The curved brush, it's almost like an hourglass shape, by curved is what they mean, bristles of varying lengths, so even tiny lashes are coated with the clump-free formula. And next, we have a little round compact. Easy beauty at its best. The Westman Atelier Lip Suede, $95 at westman-atelier.com. And it's shown here in sort of pink and coral stripes. So there are four different stripes in this one little compact, high impact, low effort. This smart scarlet compact houses four buttery and bold matte lip colors that you can pat on effortlessly with your fingers. And next we have this deep, satiny, burgundy nail polish. No Mess Nails. This is from Essie Expressi in Seize the Minute, $9 at Essie.com. And Brian says, my 4-year-old, bless her heart, loves a coat of polish, and I'm happy to do the honors. but it invariably ends up a smudgy mess as she rushes away from the table to play. That's why this quick, dry version from Essie, which comes in 40 shades, is a stroke of genius. 60 seconds to a budge-free finish. If it can help this ham-handed dad, just think what it can do for you. And then, finally, a bottle of perfume. Bright and unapologetically floral with a sensual woodsy finish. Everything you could want in a winter fragrance, Brian says. This is Diptyque Eau Capitale Eau de Parfum, $180. And it's in kind of an oval clear glass bottle with a black screw top on it. And then it has this black and white label, also in an oval with little scrolly and floral designs. And then fancy lettering on it. Still in beautiful, let's read Night Moves. Bedtime is a prime time for your complexion, an opportunity for skin cells to rest and regenerate. Here's how you can kick the process into high gear. It may not yawn or tell coworkers how badly it's jonesing for a cup of coffee at 4 p.m., but just like you, your skin needs a rest after a long day. Jennifer Haley, MD, a dermatologist in Scottsdale, Arizona, says, quote, "When it's light out, your complexion is in defense mode, warding off free radical damage from the sun and pollution. At night, when you're sleeping, your body is no longer exposed to those factors, and your skin can naturally repair itself." End of quote. During the wee hours, we produce more growth hormone, which promotes cell repair and regeneration throughout the body, including skin, adds Haley. Growth hormone is also essential for maintaining healthy muscle mass. In the face, this helps prevent sagging. At the same time, levels of melatonin, another key hormone, are rising. Mona Gahara, MD, Associate Clinical Professor of Dermatology at the Yale School of Medicine, says, quote, "Melatonin is an antioxidant that helps counter the negative effects of UV rays and pollution, and it also helps rev up collagen production, end of quote. Meanwhile, you're experiencing a dip in the stress hormone cortisol, arguably your complexion's arch nemesis. High levels can cause inflammation and increased oil production as well as moisture loss. So how can you help your skin help itself? A solid evening skincare routine is key. Chemists are also coming up with interesting new formulas infused with ingredients found in many sleep supplements. Think melatonin, valerian root, and chamomile to make the most of your beauty rest. Applying them topically won't put you to sleep, of course, but many are antioxidants that also have anti-inflammatory benefits, said Haley. The secret to waking up with better skin? This streamlined regimen. And there are three steps here. Start by cleansing. Both Kahara and Haley recommend a double cleanse to thoroughly remove the day's grime and ensure that any active ingredients you apply afterward are better able to penetrate. We suggest beginning with a cleansing oil to dissolve makeup, then sudsing up again with a traditional face wash. We like Kiehl's Midnight Recovery Botanical Cleansing Oil, $32. Go to Kiehl's.com. And Longiva Purify Super Creamy Cleanser, $50 at shoplongiva.com. Both of which contain lavender, an aromatherapeutic note known to help bring on relaxation. Next, apply actives. Adding workhorse ingredients will further promote repair and regeneration, says Kahara. Retinoids remain the gold standard. Try Olay Regenerist Retinol 24 Night Serum, $29 at drugstores. Peptide-based formulas like Skin Better Interfused Treatment Cream, $120, skinbetter.com for physicians' offices are another good bet. These ingredients help stimulate collagen production, giving a boost to the natural process. And finally, load up on moisture. Water naturally escapes from your skin overnight, says Kahara, who suggests using a rich, thick moisturizer to lock in hydration. Our pick, Awake Sleep Retreat Overnight Oil Gel, $29 at awakebeauty.com. Or try a sleeping mask like Alpen Beauty Calming Midnight Mask with Melatonin and Wild Dandelion, $64 at alpenbeauty.com, which also contains soothing chamomile. Whatever product you choose, take a few extra minutes to gently rub it onto your face in a counterclockwise motion. Psychologist and sleep expert Michael J. Brees, Ph.D., says massage is a simple way to relax your muscles and your mind, reducing pre-bedtime anxiety and stress. And that's how you do beauty after dark. Now sleep on this. You may not actually need the often remembered 7 to 8 hours of sleep to look your best. The ideal amount of Z's differs from person to person, according to Michael J. Brees, Ph.D. And as we wrap up this third installment for January, let's look at some items from the O list, a few things we think are just great. And the first item, you must remember this. Oprah loves these handcrafted cards featuring mind-expanding quotes that she reads every day. So much, they're back on the O list with 365 new daily doses of inspiration. 365 Gathered Truths Box, second edition, originally $96, now 20% off with code Oprah at sugarbooandco.company. It's a black box with hand-cut sort of their brown cardstock, kind of the color of cardboard boxes. And let's read some of the quotes that we can see. The first one from Andy Warhol, sometimes people let the same problem make them miserable for years when they could just say, so what? Hafiz, run, my dear, from anything that may not strengthen your precious budding wings. Run like hell, my dear, from anyone likely to put a sharp knife into the sacred, tender vision of your beautiful heart. Desmond Tutu's quote, do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world. And the final card we can see in this box of 365 is from Maya Angelou. Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. I'm Susan Dellinger, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.